Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5 year long study of the New Testament. Today's program, lesson number 2 of week number 37, studying Mark chapter 9. As we get started in today's study, these reminders. For all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. You will find at least 10 free resources there, including audio and video files, print materials, ebooks, Bible reading schedules, links to all of these IGH 260 broadcasts, links to our Bible study courses, and more. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. Text IGHFREE to 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org to get started, or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call us toll-free at this number, 1-855-IGH-6988, to receive a free 30-lesson Bible study series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. Did you miss any of last week's study of Mark chapter 8? All of the recorded lessons in the IGH 260 series, studying the New Testament one chapter per week, starting with week number 1 and Matthew chapter 1, they are always available to freely listen to and or freely download at internationalgospelhour.com/IGH260. Tune in again today and every day. And finally, before we begin, join the thousands who keep up with International Gospel Hour and visit facebook.com/International Gospel Hour and twitter.com/Jody Apple. Let's continue our study of the 9th chapter of Mark's Gospel. We were just 2 verses away from completing our expanded outline. We will finish that in the next few moments and then get started in our more detailed verse-by-verse, thought-by-thought study. Mark chapter 9, verses 49 through 50. Salt, seasoned within, seasoned without. Verse 49, everyone will be seasoned with fire. Every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Verse 50, salt's good. But if salt loses flavor, how can it be restored? You must have salt within yourselves, and you must have peace with each other. Let's move on to our verse-by-verse, thought-by-thought study of Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, verse 1, the transition from Mark 8 to Mark 9. In the closing verses of Mark 8, Jesus was speaking to the disciples and the people he called to himself. See Mark 8, 34 and following. As we are about to see, Jesus continued to speak to both as Mark chapter 9 opens. Let's explore that situation a bit more fully, making reference to inline chapter and section headings as they appear in most printed versions of the Bible. Print Bibles often put headings at the beginning of chapters, and then at the top of certain sections within chapters, in order to identify the general thrust of that particular part of the biblical text. Of the printed Bibles that I checked, most of them have no heading at the beginning of Mark chapter 9, but they do have one preceding verse 2 of Mark 9 that references the upcoming narrative about the transfiguration of Jesus. The point, one that we have noted often before, but not in our recent studies, Bible chapter and Bible verse divisions are not divinely inspired. They originated as translators and printers prepared their versions for production. Halgard, in his article about Miles Coverdale, in the Dictionary of Major Bible Interpreters, notes that Coverdale was the first to provide chapter headings, which were grouped at the beginning of each book. Coverdale's English translations, if you did not know, were in circulation in the 1530s, more than 80 years before the King James Version. F.F. Bruce also noted that Coverdale's work, one largely based on William Tyndale's efforts, introduced chapter headings. These last few references need to be tempered by this fact. Coverdale's has been determined to be the first printed Bible to include chapter headings. Parker, however, notes that translations of Jerome's Latin Vulgate as early as the 5th and 6th centuries included ancillary material, namely chapter headings and practices. Some of those translations show evidence of owing their origin to 4th century manuscripts, indicating that headings and other inline inserts existed even earlier. Mounts, in his commentary on Acts, in the New American Commentary series, observed that early Latin chapter headings were included in the Roman epistle. For those who might be interested, there are photographic images of the Codex Sinaiticus that Tischendorf discovered in 1844. That manuscript, said to be from one of the great libraries in Caesarea, dates back to the 5th or the 6th century. It was first photographed in the early 1900s by Kersop Lake. Those photographs indicate the presence of tituli, or chapter headings, in Acts. Though we have often stopped to take a moment, or two, or three, to explain the flow of the gospel narratives of Matthew and Mark as they move from one chapter to the next, we have not, to this point, taken the time to document when and where and why verses and chapters and headings before and within chapters started. Our brief reference to it here, nowhere near exhaustive, only serves as a reminder that the end of a chapter does not necessarily constitute the end of a writer's thought or a specific context. That will be obvious as we explain the transition from Mark 8 into Mark 9. The closing part of Mark 8, starting in verse 27, addresses the identity of Jesus. In 8:27, Jesus asked his disciples this question, "Who do men say that I am?" They responded, saying that some thought he was John the Baptist, Elijah, or one of the prophets. 8:28. Jesus asked a second question in this setting, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter responded, saying, "You are the Christ." Verse 29. After telling the disciples that they should tell no one about his identity at this point, verse 30, for reasons explained elsewhere in our studies, Jesus began to tell the disciples about his future suffering, rejection, death, and resurrection, chapter 8, verse 31. Peter, not at all understanding what Jesus meant, took Jesus to task, verse 32. But Jesus set Peter straight by telling him that he, Peter, was not mindful of God's things, but only man's things, verse 33. That was not a general denouncement of Peter and everything that Peter believed. Jesus did not mean that Peter had no idea at all about any of things of God, but that Peter in this instance did not know what God intended. Quick reminder, Peter's immediate rejection of Jesus' impending suffering, trials, death, and resurrection, it was not just a Peter thing. As we read through the New Testament, we will learn that it was a very common misunderstanding about the coming Messiah. The suffering servant of Isaiah, God's servant, one identified by God through Isaiah as my servant, that servant was destined to die, willingly, in accord, in harmony with God's redemptive plan. Jesus' identity as the Christ, affirmed by Peter just a few verses earlier, chapter 8, verse 29, did not jibe, did not sync with, in Peter's understanding, the humiliated and the beaten suffering servant as depicted in Isaiah chapter 52 and Isaiah chapter 53. Then, in Mark 8, verse 34, the stage was set for what we will see in the opening verse of Mark 9. In that verse, 8:34, Jesus called others to himself. They, whoever they were now grouped along with the apostles. In the immediately preceding verses, Jesus was instructing the disciples, the apostles, by themselves. But now, Jesus was speaking to a larger audience. To that larger audience, Jesus said that, in order to come after him, one must deny self, take up his own cross, and then follow after him. Verse 34. What Jesus said next about saving one's life physically and losing one's life spiritually and vice versa applied to that same larger audience, including Jesus' apostles. It's that same audience that Jesus was speaking to as Mark chapter 9 opens. The opening words of Mark 9:1 read, "And he, Jesus, said to them." The pronoun them applies to his disciples and all those that Jesus had called to himself in Mark 8:34. So, though a portion of the closing verses of Mark 8 apply directly and exclusively to Jesus' disciples, verses 27 through 33 of Mark 8, the very last verses in that chapter include the disciples and others. The final upshot of all this? There was no movement in time or place from Mark 8:31 to Mark 9:1. Everything remained as it was. The chapter heading that breaks those two verses, thus introducing a new chapter in Bible translations for hundreds of years, does not, indeed cannot, change this immediate biblical frame of reference. Same people, same place, in both the close of Mark 8 and the opening of Mark 9. Yes, I realize that this might be obvious to you, but I suspect that it's not so obvious to others. And if it's not so obvious to you, let me simply encourage you to make sure that you do not automatically assume a time, place, audience, or subject change from one chapter to the next. The context will always tell whether or not those changes occur. In this setting, the time and place and audience are identical. But as we shall see, Jesus to that audience, in that time, and at that place, will introduce a new subject. In Mark 9:1, Jesus told this assembled audience that some of them would still be alive in order to see the kingdom of God present with power. What does that mean? What kingdom? What was it going to be like? How would they see it? When would they see it? What does it mean to say that they would see the kingdom of God present or come with power? For better or for worse, Jesus did not stop to explain what he meant. As Mark 9 continues, starting in the very next verse, almost everything changes. The time will be different. Mark 9:2 says that after 6 days. The people will be different. Mark 9:2 says that Jesus went with Peter, James, and John, not all of the disciples, and not with those whom Jesus called to himself in Mark 8:34. The place will be different. Mark 9:2 says that Jesus took them to a high mountain. And finally, the subject changes. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Mark chapter 9. These reminders as we close, to start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.